Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Shannon Perry. Thank you so much for coming back. We'd just love to catch up and see what's happened since the last time we talked.
Thank you, Rose. It is so great to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
Now we're going to talk about The Overlooked Generation.
Yeah.
And that book is intriguing just in the title. But why did you title it that, and who is the overlooked generation?
Well, Rose, I feel like a lot of teens are desperately trying to fill a void in their life. We look around and we see it in all kind of statistics and how they are looking for something to fill that void that only God can fill. But that is why I titled the book The Overlooked Generation, because so many times we're overlooking what is important to them, and mm-hmm. that is telling them the truth of God's word that's going to mm-hmm. set them free, that's going to help them to grow in the areas that they need to grow in. But as parents and as those of us who work with teens, we need to know how to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wrote the book.
You know, the theme to this particular convention, the theme seemed like I was either interviewing women who had had horrible teenage experiences and the parents were there but just overlooked yeah. what they were going through,
yeah.
or I am being confronted with all of the evil things that our children can be exposed to through the media now, from cyberbullying to pornography. So explain a little bit the outline. What topics did you cover in this book?
Well, I tried to hit everything that I thought parents would need to address teens. We know that dress, of course, is a big teen topic because, as we all know, we've all worn a few things that our parents didn't exactly approve of. I don't know about you, but
yeah.
I remember back in the 80s when it was popular to wear men's boxer shorts over sweatpants. I don't know why we thought that looked attractive, but somehow we thought we were really cute. And I remember my dad sitting in a big black chair in the living room. It was impossible to get to the door without passing my dad. And I remember him looking at me and with this really puzzled look on his face, he said, "Where are you going and why are you wearing men's underwear out in public?" And I thought, well, Dad, you're just not so cool. And
yeah.
What we realize as parents when we grow up is our parents really know a lot. But unfortunately, as a teen, we think we're cute. I think it's important, Rose, and I addressed a lot of this in the book. It's important to know what hills to die on. You know,
yeah.
if our kid wants to wear UGG boots out to the mall in the middle of the summertime, that's not a do or die situation. But dress is important. And there was a study by the American Psychological Association. They said 70% of moms and daughters felt guilty, ashamed, and depressed after looking at fashion magazines because we've allowed mainstream media to dictate what pretty looks like. And I don't know about you, when I walk into the store, I like to turn those magazines over sometimes because
yeah.
they're airbrushed.
Uh-huh.
But so many of our teens are being told by social media, by magazines in the store, that they have to look a certain mm-hmm. way in order to be pretty.
Yeah.
And so that is why I dressed dress. And another thing is the sexually explicit images that we're seeing.
Yeah.
We know that our kids are bombarded mm-hmm. with sexually explicit images. And so we have to talk to kids about dressing for attention and what kind of attention they're looking for. And so I talk a lot about that in the book. We have to remember, too, girls are going to dress for each other when they get older and they're younger. But in their middle teens, they're dressing to get attention from guys.
Mm-hmm.
They like to know that guys think they're pretty.
Yeah.
And but reminding our teens, what kind of attention are you looking for? There's positive attention. There's negative
yeah.
attention. We know that guys say, yes, I looked at her initially. I thought she was cute. If she was wearing something a little more explicit, suggestive. But the bottom line is research shows that guys want to date a girl who actually dresses in a way that shows self-respect.
Yeah.
And I think our teens need to hear that message.
Yes. You know, one of the chapters is titled, "You're Wearing What?" Was that inspired by your father.
Absolutely.
He didn't overlook you. It needs to be pointed out. He saw you. He yes. didn't overlook you as you walked out.
I had to be very careful. My dad sent me back to my room several times as a teenager to say, you're not wearing that. Now, my mom knew he would take care of it, so she didn't speak up a lot. My mom's a very classy dresser, taught me how to dress very classy. But every now and then, I would try the whole, get away with things. No, I never got away with it. I was definitely not overlooked. And I think the most important thing we have to remember as a teen too, or as a parent of a teen, is that we have to remind our teen, you're so much more than what you're wearing. Yes, we all like to look cute. Yes, we all like to paint the barn still, even no matter how old we are. But the important part is to remind our teens as well, you're so much more, your beauty is truly what is coming from the outside. The Bible says God looks on the heart. And our teens don't understand that when they're younger. And so we have to show them, you can be beautiful on the outside, but I know some of the most beautiful women on the outside, and when you get to know them and when you talk to them, sometimes they're not so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we know teenagers see that in each other as well.
Yes. I think this segues into the topic of bullying and cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, initially, students will be picked on because of what they're wearing or how they look. Mm-hmm. And so two-prong maybe. How do we help parents help students? And how do we directly help children to be...
Well, going back to what research says, one out of every 10 kids who drops out of school does so because they're bullied, Rose. It's a very big problem. And you're right. It's not just happening at school. It's happening much more in cyber world because people can get away with it. And our kids, most of the time, are not going to confront the people who are bullying them in cyber world. They're going to overlook that. Unfortunately, they carry those scars with them. And so one of the ways to address the world, the cyber world, one of the most important things as parents that we need to remind our teens to do is to not erase when they're bullied in cyber world. It's real important that they know, do not take that and just wipe it out, but put it on a jump drive, save that information, and then erase it off of your computer. Because, Rose, we know that some of these cases turn into very serious things. And if it comes to a point where we have to show that our kids are being bullied, we want proof of that so that we can confront that situation. If it continues, then, of course, we'll have to confront it. Mm-hmm. But one of the most important things I think parents need to remind teens of is that a lot of times our teens are giving away their passwords. They share passwords, they give each other their passwords, and then they wonder why they're bullied. And so one of the most important things to remember is that don't give away your password. Yes. You give that to your parents, store that away somewhere, but don't give that to your friends. And that's something that a lot of them are sharing.
I agree with you. I had started in middle school just when Facebook and social media really was beginning to take hold there, and I didn't know at the time that it was a policy that the teachers were not to befriend their students. I befriended everybody in my classroom.
Right.
I knew that what I posted was totally always going to be kosher, and I had a huge eye opener. I mean, I'm teaching seventh grade and these girls are being accused of sleeping with different boys, that they're pregnant.
Right.
And I was able, because I had befriended them all, I was able to be very proactive. The school had a policy that if cyberbullying impacted the school, they could address it. But by saying no teacher was to sign on or be a friend, they didn't know it was going on. So I was able, in my ignorance, to expose this whole line of cyberbullying that was running rampant in the school. And they were trying to be they were very proud that they weren't seeing any bullying. But it was happening big time.
Well, and you bring up a very important point for parents. Parents need to befriend their kids. They need to be involved in their kids' life on social media.
Yeah.
I know, I work with teens every day, and I know that they feel very invaded if mom and dad want to get involved in cyber world. I've been told that many times. They've said, you know what, it's my private life. Well, you know what, honey, as long as you're living, it goes back to that old adage, as long as you're living under my roof. And unfortunately, our kids don't understand we're doing it for their protection. action. So to sit down and explain to them why you're involved in their social media is very crucial. But I encourage parents, I implore parents, get involved in everything
Absolutely.
That your kids are doing on social media, and let them know, I have an app on my phone for whatever apps that you have. And at any point, here's another very important thing, Rose, the kids need to understand, if parents, as long as they are living under that roof, parents, you must, not you can, you must check your kid's cell phone mm-hmm. and see what's going on. Check their technology, check mm-hmm. their computer, check their iPod. A lot of parents don't realize, but kids can communicate in a lot of ways on their iPod, and they don't have to have a phone to do this.
I know. It's
and
amazing.
So any type of technology that our teens are using, they've got to check that. We as parents, that's our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Just like before technology began, it was important for our mm-hmm. Parents to walk into your room at any time and see what's going on in the room. This is their room now. They've moved from doing things in public to doing things mm-hmm. online. And so as parents, we're in charge of going into their room socially and finding out what's happening in their room.
And if you start at a young age, this has been my experience as a grandma, the first thing that my children allowed their children to befriend is they could befriend grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so young and naive at the time that that was still a really big deal. And I got the privilege of being their first friend, you
right.
know. And then they've often forgotten that I'm still their friend. Mm-hmm. And I have been able to say to parents, do you know that this is going on? Mm-hmm. And to really nip some serious things in the bud. Because now my grandchildren are, you know, my oldest is 18, so they're now getting into the right. more vulnerable stages.
Well, it's a hard line to walk as parents. I feel sorry for parents in a way so many times, because they'll say, I don't want to overstep my boundaries, but mm-hmm. I know my kid's friend is doing this. Well, I always remind parents, how would you want other parents to respond if that was your child in crisis,
yeah.
if that was your child in that situation? Sometimes we have to go beyond being political. We have to get over mm-hmm. being political. Correct.
Amen.
And we have to get into protecting and securing our kids, because Satan is doing everything he can do to move into the technology world, to move into the airwaves, to move into media, and to do whatever he could do to sneak his way in. And we're called as Christian parents to protect our kids. And so this is a really powerful way that we can do that.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of these other topics like traps of technology. We're starting to get into it. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Wes Doffenbaugh, author of 21 Ways to Forgive. A youth pastor was telling me about his health routine, all the vitamins, minerals, probiotics, workouts. I told him my favorite health technique is a heart at peace, no hatred, no bitterness, no self-pity or critical judgment of others. I reminded him that the ancient Israelites ate manna from heaven, the ultimate health food, yet almost all died prematurely because of negative emotions. The Bible says a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones, Proverbs 14:30. Now, the youth pastor got very quiet because he hated his father. Friend, if you don't want to be buried in Negative Emotions Memorial Garden, you must live with a peaceful heart. I hope you'll get a copy of 21 Ways to Forgive and another copy for someone who needs to conquer unforgiveness. Contact me at encouragementexpert.com or email me at encouragementexpert@gmail.com. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size
As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you. So be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking to Shannon Perry, and we're talking about the overlooked generation. We were just having this great conversation about being involved in your child's technology. And that just segues right into traps. What are some of the traps that parents need to watch out for?
Well, one of the things that I want to mention, Rose, is thank you, first of all, for being so open to talk about technology, because I think a lot of us as parents are afraid. We're afraid to attack the world of technology because it's so big, and there's so many new things that are happening every day that all we could do is read on that every day and still not stay caught up, and that's how we feel. So we just shy away from it. I encourage parents to learn about what's happening in technology and to really study that and to ask your kids, have conversations with your kids about these different apps. A couple of things that I want to point out. One of the dangerous apps that kids are using a lot nowadays is called Kik. It's K-I-K. And it can be used with iPhones, iPads, phones. It does not have to be on a phone. And you don't have to have a phone to use it. And that's important to remember because, again, parents aren't aware a lot of times that kids are on their iPod. Their iPod. And they're playing music or their tablet, and they're communicating. Mm-hmm. So Kik is closely tied to Instagram, and we know that Instagram's a very popular app, and it's a fine program to use. There's some things, of course, just like all technology, there's good and bad with all of it. But Kik is closely tied to Instagram, but messages on Instagram are public. Messages on Kik are private. Mm. And that's where we get into trouble with these private apps, because all the communication that's going on is private. And our kids often don't realize that our kids could get into a lot of trouble knowing that at some point they think that everything is erased, and it's not. It stays on the server. And when you have your private conversations out on a server for all to see at any time, even in a private app, that's when things begin to happen, and that's when dangerous situations begin to happen. And Kik is one of those private apps. So we need to be aware of that. Any type of private messaging app, parents should monitor and learn all apps, like I mentioned before. Now, Omegle is another type of chat available that parents need to know about. It's used to talk to strangers. And that's how people connect. It's one of those meet me here, those kind of chat rooms. Mm-hmm. We've seen some really scary things happen with Omegle when our kids think they're talking to one person and then they find out they're talking to someone else.
Yeah.
And so we need to be aware of these private messaging apps. So don't just look up Kik and don't just look up Omegle parents, but go and Google the word private apps. See what kind of apps are out there that these kids are getting into, what kind of things they're using, and study those. Another thing that I would encourage parents to do while we're talking about phones is cell phone contracts. I have a cell phone contract in the book, The Overlooked Generation, for parents. And I'll just share a couple of things with you from it. The child has a responsibility in the contract, and the parents have a contract. So we both have contracts. Some of the child's responsibilities are, I will not send threatening or mean text to others. If they do, there's consequences.
Yeah.
You lose your phone. And you know, when you take a phone away from your teenager, you have just removed their very breath from their lungs.
Yes.
I will not text or place phone calls after 9 p.m. I'll keep my phone charged at all times. And how many times do our kids say, well, I would have called you. I meant to call you, but my phone died. And I'm guilty of that as an adult, even. I won't bring my cell phone to the dinner table. Parents, dinner is dinner, and we need to all put our technology down.
That's
Nothing is more heartbreaking than when I'm out in public and I see parents on their phone and the kids on their phone. That's a time for communication off the phones. I promise I'll alert my parents when I receive suspicious or alarming phone calls or text messages from people I don't know. I'll send no more than, and you fill in the blank, parents, how many texts per day. So there's a lot of different responsibilities the kids have. Some of the parent responsibilities include, I'll support my teen when he or she alerts me to an alarming message or text they've received. I'll give my teen this many warnings before I take his or her cell phone away. Cell phones, parents, are easy to, that's an easy grab.
Yeah.
When our kids say something we don't like, what do? Give me your phone.
Yeah.
And so the kids are like, whoa. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And so that's a good thing to have in our contract because we can be impulsive.
Yeah.
So it's good for us to have that in place so they know, okay, I've gotten three warnings, I'm losing my phone.
I want to touch a little bit on actual physical bullying in schools, and maybe it starts in the home and we don't even realize it as parents that we're setting up our children to be bullied by bullying them. What's your take on that?
Well, we know that 160,000 children miss school every day because they were bullied. And we know that a lot of times, unfortunately, bullying starts at home, but sometimes it doesn't, Rose. I know as a child I was bullied. I was not bullied in my home. But as soon as I walked out the door, I was a little overweight as a child. And as soon as I walked out the door, there were kids in the neighborhood who were bullying me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so painful and it was so hurtful. And I remember asking my mom one time when I was 9 years old, I said, why am I so ugly and why do the kids hate me?
Aww.
And that's how I lived with this image of myself for so long, wondering what's wrong with me. And that's why we're seeing so much just torture in our bless their heart, our kids' souls are, they're just being tortured. And that's why I wrote this section on bullying, because I know how that feels. And so we as parents have got to know, what do we do when this happens? We know it's happening. We know kids are taking their lives because it's happening. And I wrote about a child that I counseled as a counselor in the back of the book, The Overlooked Generation. But we can talk to our kids when they're being bullied. There's certain things that we can say to them. We can say things like, you know what, I thank you for telling me that you've been bullied. We need to tell our teens or our kids, we appreciate you for sharing that. Some kids are afraid to share that they're bullied because the bully tells them, I'll do worse to you if you tell anybody. And so they've got to be sure that they know it's okay for you to come and talk to me. We also need to remind our kids to let us know that when that's happening, we could go to, you know, school administration. We need to share that with our kids and why we're doing that, or wherever it's going, if we need to go to the law. Mm-hmm. We need to let them know that. When we're talking to our child about being bullied, the most important thing we've got to remember is that they don't deserve it.
That's right.
And we've got to ingrain that in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving them some things to do. I always remind kids, if you're being bullied, here's some things that you can do. You can turn around and walk away. You don't have to stand there and listen to it. We know that. But that's easier said than done when you're standing there listening to someone. The most important thing is, I believe, if you can, to stand up to the bully and let them know, I'm not going to allow you to stand here and talk to me like this anymore, and then walk away. Have our kids, remind our kids, make some friends that are encouraging to them, that love them, that support them, that show them, I care about you. Because bullies pick on people that they see as less than. They see them as people who are not as good as them for some reason.
Or weaker.
Loners are often bullied because they don't have a support group around them.
Yeah.
So encourage your kid to get kids around them who will love them, who will encourage them. Help them find some friends if they don't know how to make friends. Talk to them about how to find good friends, what kind of friendship skills that they need. As a parent, though, I want to say this. If it's happening at school, don't be afraid to go to the administration and let them know it's happening, and you go as high as you need to go until that bullying stops.
Amen.
And that's what happened to my girl that I wrote about in the back of the book, The Overlooked Generation.
Yes, be sure and check that book out, The Overlooked Generation, Parenting Teens and Tweens in a Complicated Culture by Shannon Perry. And we've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much for being with me. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
God bless. Thanks, Rose.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to
mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.